Argue, talk, exaggerate, pontificate, just shut talk. Why won't you listen? Why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Well, good afternoon. It is Tuesday, March 6th, 2018, if you're listening live. And if you're not, well, that's when we're doing this live. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1, and you are listening to Spouting Off. I thought before I got started with the issues of the day, I would talk a little bit about our show in general. I mean, all you got to do is listen and you'll get an idea. But the reason that I came up with the idea of spouting off is because we're living in a time right now where some people think it's okay to shut other people down. You get a choice of listening or not listening, but you really, in America, in these United States of America, ought not be able to shut people down. A lot of people, and this isn't even what I was going to talk about, but, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about spouting off because the idea of spouting off your opinion is really perhaps a little deeper than you think. It's not just a matter of venting or pontificating, all of which people do readily these days. It's that if you're living in a free society where you get to express yourself, then you also need to be able to support other people's rights to express themselves. That is not the government. That's the spirit of the First Amendment, not the actual First Amendment. So many people confuse that. The First Amendment states that the government has no right to punish you for what you say. It also says some things about religion and about free association and those kinds of things. But a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that the First Amendment or free speech means that people are required to listen, are not required to criticize. It's amazing the things that people think about free speech that really aren't true. It disturbs me that so many people reach adulthood as Americans and really have very poor education about civics, but that's another story. So in the spirit of the idea of free speech, there's a reason that free speech is first, that the First Amendment is number one, because once a government has the power to shut you down for what you say or use the power of government to punish you because you have a different point of view than they do, and they want to manipulate what you think or punish you for thinking something they don't like, then the whole idea of freedom is right out the window. So how do you keep that? Well, part of the way you keep that is to learn how to tolerate the rights of other people to say things you don't like. So you don't have to listen. You don't have to like it. You can turn the channel or you can not attend. I'm thinking at the moment, again, not what I was even planning to talk about, but we'll get into a lot more. I have a jam-packed show for you today. There is a wonderful conservative woman who is anti the leftist version of the women's movement. Her name is Christina Hoff Sommers. I tried to get her on an AM talk show last week and was unable to because she was traveling. But she was the guest in a left-wing college, and don't ask me the name because I don't know right now. And she was shut down. Why? Because she didn't toe the company line. These colleges that are funded by your taxpayer dollars and mine are absolutely going against the First Amendment. They are against the First Amendment in spirit and in law. If they take government funds, if they are universities as Berkeley is, and we have such snowflakes on our college campuses today that they can't possibly hear a point of view with which they disagree, then we are in big, big trouble in this country. And of course, we all know there's lots of problems going on today. So spouting off is the spirit of not only, you know, the general talk radio idea of saying what you have on your mind and saying it clearly, or just saying it, but also the idea that you are not required to agree, but it is essential to our freedom that we allow people to speak their mind and take the consequences. Remember the Dixie Chicks when they thought that their free speech was being violated because people didn't want to buy their music anymore because they criticized George Bush? I have a lot of criticisms of George Bush, especially lately. But they really thought that somehow they were entitled to have people buy their music because they have, quote, a right to speak up. Well, they do have a right to speak up, and other people have a right to reject that opinion. So it's just important to talk about First Amendment, because that's what I'm doing right now, is exercising my First Amendment rights. And there are just so many countries in this world today that don't have free speech. They are not free countries. We have so much speech today that people take it for granted to the point where they don't even understand or appreciate freedom. Well, there's too many of those, shall we say. If you'd like to get in on this conversation, good, bad, or indifferent, you can call me right now at toll-free 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. So I have several issues on the agenda today, and we're also going to have our maiden voyage of Martina Cartwright, my friend Dr. Martina Cartwright, and her new short little vignette called A Moment of Reason with Martina. So you'll get to hear that a little bit later in the show, so that we break it up a little bit during this hour. But in this hour of spouting off, we're going to talk about the Oscars. Now, how could I possibly talk about the Oscars when I didn't see it? Well, I knew that I would be hearing about what was said. It was funny, you know, years ago, I used to love the Oscars. I was very much into showbiz. I used to make my living as a professional actress and singer. And even before I used to make my living as an actress and singer, I made a party of the Oscars every year. And I was just carried away in all the fantasy of Hollywood. I wouldn't say that I was ever taken to idolizing celebrities. I always had my head screwed on fairly straight, but showbiz was my thing, so I loved it. And oh my, how times have changed. So I talked about how I wasn't going to watch it last week on AM Talk Radio, and so I turned it on. I turned it on and I tested myself to see how long I could last before I just had to turn it off. I wasn't turning it off because I was rebelling. I was turning it off because I couldn't stand it. Well, I made it about a minute and a half. I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel. He was terrible last year. I don't think I watched very much of it last year. And I know what his politics is, and he thinks it's very important to impose that on the rest of us. Once again, he has every right to say and express whatever he wants, and we have every right to say, you know what? I ain't watching. So I thought that what I heard about the Oscars after the fact, and you may have too, was the perfect microcosm of some of what is so dreadfully wrong with the left right now. And so let's talk about that a little bit. So first off, it was pretty nice to know that not only did the Oscars have the worst ratings, I think, in the history of Oscars, and they just still can't get the message, can they? But it was, I guess it was about 7% less last year with Jimmy Kimmel, and now Jimmy Kimmel has the record, I think, of having the lowest rated Oscars ever. Now, people in the Hollywood community are, everybody has a community today. We're all a bunch of balkanized communities. People in Hollywood are saying, well, you know, it's harder these days because there's movies on DVD and video, and a lot of people haven't seen the movies. Well, they can make excuses till the cows come home. But there have been studies about how little the public cares about their political viewpoints, but they don't care. Now, the advance information, the advance media about the Oscars to get people to watch were saying that, oh, you know, Hollywood's going to clean up its act this year. They're going to have a little Me Too message real quickly, and then they'll be off to the races and they'll actually entertain people. Well, apparently, you can tell celebrities, but you can't tell them much. Why? Because there is a level of hypocrisy, a level of smugness, ignorance, arrogance, self-satisfiedness, and all the bennies that go along with wealth, praise, and power, with none of the gratitude that these celebrities suffer from. Nobody ever says no to these people. So just because the producers wanted them to keep their nose clean doesn't mean that they had any intention of it. So from all accounts, it's amazing I can talk about this without having seen it, but I can because much was said. Among the things that were said by Jimmy Kimmel, and the thing that I actually heard live and said I had to turn it off, was when Jimmy Kimmel decided that the Oscar statue, was Hollywood's ideal man. Quote, he keeps his hands where you can see them. He never says a rude word, and most importantly, no penis at all. He is literally a statue of limitations, the host joked. Right. So I know he was kidding, but truly, I think that is what the left hopes will happen to men. They truly have been engaged in emasculating men, in putting down men. Now, you may say this whole Me Too movement and this Time's Up movement is merely to hold men accountable. I beg to differ. I think that there is a whole lot more going on there than anybody realizes. I have never seen the left engage in any national, quote, movement when it wasn't a movement to collectivize people, to divide people one against the other, to put down the opposition, and to hope to create more votes. That's what it's about. Do you really think, this is an aside, that the left is ready to take in all the illegal aliens that they are now the champions of? Are they going to allow them into their fancy mansions in Bel Air and in on the beach in Santa Monica? No, they're not going to do that. No, they get to feel holier than you, better than you, because they claim to be more compassionate than you. It's okay that they hand over all responsibility for being generous to the government, and all the government can do is take from one and give to another. So Hollywood, they get to feel self-satisfied. And the level of hypocrisy is really so laughable. I guess if there's anything that's entertaining, at all, is watching celebrities try to claim that they are more compassionate than the rest of us because they believe that the government should put its hands in your meager pockets, and because they agree with that, that makes them more generous than you. Do you follow that? It's amazing. It's the same thing that happens with the left, the leftist religionists who think that you can bureaucratize generosity and make it by force. The only thing the government ever does is take from one and give to another and bully people into or confiscating the wealth or the assets that individuals have created. And then in order to continue to do that and to amass greater power through keeping people dependent, they do it by all means necessary, by either bullying you, shaming you, telling you you're selfish if you simply don't give more, and if you don't vote for more tax increases, when clearly the only entity that has never really caught on, the moniker, is we've got big tobacco, big pharma, big business, but we never, ever, the entity of big government is the most greedy of all, because they take without giving back. They take through power and force. Now, I know this is kind of, you know, libertarianism 101, but I am not a libertarian. I have certain libertarian views, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about basically a lie, people being led down the primrose path to believe that they're part of the in club and the in crowd because they're just more sensitive and more trendy than you and I. So it's a really a diabolical, frankly, plan to be able to exploit people who aren't either smart enough or educated enough or sophisticated enough to realize that this is basically the Nigerian scam that you get on the internet. I mean, how many people still fall for it, but most people, when you get something that out of nowhere, a spam piece of email that says, you have just won $20 million. I'm looking for somebody who will just send me their bank account numbers and I'll put it in your bank account. Most people smile at that and say, you've got to be kidding. But when it comes to the government and our belief that the government can help us and can take care of us and can fix things, well, we saw how well they fixed Parkland, Florida on Valentine's Day, didn't we? Another backfire for the left. They wanted to use it as a means to chip away or maybe take a battering ram to your Second Amendment rights. And what happened? Everything that was supposed to happen by government failed, failed, and failed. Notice how it's out of the news now, the Parkland shooting. The left doesn't really care about those people. They cared about them when they could advance their political agenda. But once the agenda was revealed to be exploitative and cynical and dishonest and disingenuous, they're on to the next story. They're on to Nunberg. They're on to Trump yet again. We're going to take a break in just a minute, and we're going to come back with more. We're going to talk about the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement. Where's it going? What's it about, really? I have an article about Slate's. Slate is a hard left internet site. Their opinion on guns. And what do they really want? What do they really want? And we'll have a Trump date. That's Trump update to you and me. No, we're not going to date Trump. We're going to have a Trump update. And I'm calling it the Trump date. And we'll have Martina's feature in the third section of our show. So this is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off, and we're going to come right back. So stay tuned.
I'm Hadley, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the great principle of equality set forth by the Declaration of Independence.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. This is Karen Cataline with Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. If you'd like to join the program and offer your comments, the number is 888-627-6008, or you can call direct at 323-744-4831. So we were talking about the Oscars, and I kind of glossed over it, the idea of a penis-free man. I honestly think that that's what the left has been working on for a long time. Remember 20 years ago when it was Alan Alda? Everybody, women were told, I was told, that what we really wanted was the sensitive man, the Alan Alda man, the man who was a feminist and who could understand all my strength and my power and I am woman, hear me roar. And so women were acting like men and expecting men to act more like women. The dirty little secret was women didn't want men like that. Now, that's a generalization, but most women don't want men like that. My favorite analogy is Gone with the Wind. You can tell a lot about a woman by who she's rooting for. Now, Scarlett O'Hara is a true brat. She's one of the most obnoxious characters in literature. I mean, I don't know why any of the men would be fighting over her. She's spoiled and she's willful and she's stupid. I don't know how stupid she is, but she acts stupidly. Nonetheless, you have two prototypes of manhood, two very generalizing prototypes. You have Rhett Butler, the hunky man about town who really is very attractive. See, you can tell which one I like because he's head over heels in love with Scarlett. And then you have Ashley Wilkes, whom Scarlett dotes on and is obsessed with. And when she finally has the opportunity to get him, she really doesn't want him. She's just using him as a way to, make Rhett Butler miserable, basically. And to taunt him is the word I was looking for. And Scarlett taunts a lot of men, and she uses her womanly wiles to get anything and everything she wants. The point is that real women, for the most part, want men to be real men. The left has been engaged for a very long time in emasculating men. That's what they've been doing, emasculating men. And they've been selling women a bill of goods, telling women that what they really wanted was a weak man, perhaps even a bisexual man. It's okay to want a man who likes to dress in women's clothes, all of that. What you really want is a man who can cry and all of that. First off, individualism is best when it doesn't really care what cultural trends ask you to do. It cares more about who you are as an individual. Not only are you a good person, but you find out what you're meant to do and who you're meant to be. But the left has had a vested interest in emasculating men. And why is that? You always have to ask why. Why is it such a great thing for a man to be penis free? Why are we hearing about toxic masculinity? Why are we hearing about patriarchy? That's the new thing. I'm telling you, the left is brilliant at coming up with word after word after word. They always love to create language. And the sad part is Republicans buy it every time, and they take that language and they run with it. Nonetheless, what is all this hatred towards men about? I'm going to tell you right now. I really think a lot of it has to do with, and this is not a unique point of view, but we're going to liken it to this Me Too movement and all of that. And that is, the left is absolutely committed to people putting their faith in government. That's why Barack Obama was so incensed that conservatives cling to their guns and God, because conservatives of all varieties, they're more law-abiding than most liberals, but they don't place government as God. Generally speaking, they place God as God. And so who's the most independent? Who has the most history in being independent? Well, men, because historically men have taken care of their families financially and otherwise. And it's very clear that in order to create more dependency, you have to take away the dependence. You have to take away the things on which women were dependent. So not only do they not need a man, right? Women needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. That was a favorite bumper sticker from way back when. But not only that, but when a woman finds out that she does need a partner, she wants somebody, what does she do? She goes to the government, and the government gives her food for her children, milk, WIC, food stamps, whatever for her children. That is a reliable liberal vote. And since the left never sleeps, since the left never stops plotting to gather more and more and more power, this latest incarnation is, in my opinion, we are seeing the left attack itself. And people are wondering, why are they attacking themselves? Most of the people in the so-called Me Too movement, Hollywood and all of that, are other liberal men getting attacked. Well, I had an aha the other day, because it's happening in the state of Colorado as well. There are two prominent cases. I won't go into great detail, but there's one in the state legislature. You can look it up. And there's one in the Denver mayor's office, both of whom are getting accused of sexual harassment. What disturbs me greatly about all of this, nationally, locally, in California and all around, is this notion that sexual harassment, sexual assault, sexual crime is all the same. If you say an off-color remark to a woman in a business and she doesn't like it, she can get you for sexual harassment. Now, this was an issue several years ago in which the conservatives sort of fought. They said, wait a second, that's kind of like the thought police, right? So if you like my comment, then it's not sexual harassment. If you want to go out on a date and you like, you know, and you're interested, then it's sexual harassment. But if you don't like me, if I have bad breath, I'm speaking for the man, if I don't look the way you want me to, or you don't like the pass, as it were, then it's sexual harassment. Now, there has been an attempt to make it clearer. But now with the left and this whole Me Too movement, that's gone straight out the window. The way it was meant to be made clearer was that the person had to be in a position of authority and to hold your job over you, or coercion of some sort, or threatening you with your livelihood. Okay, I could see a crime there, but that's not what the left is engaged in right now. Not only has the left done more, and Hollywood, to cheapen and coarsen our culture. I mean, it was them who kept loosening and loosening and loosening social mores with their films and with language and with censoring. I'm not a Puritan. I don't much care. But it's interesting that now, I'm trying to pull this all together so you can understand where I'm going with this. Now, all of a sudden, it is the left that's acting like Puritans. Now, how did that happen? They're the ones that have been saying, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, go for it, baby, sex in the city, we can have sex like a man, all of that stuff. I am woman, hear me roar. All of a sudden, Trump comes into office and they don't know what else to do. They feel like they're losing, so they do a complete 180. Now, they're more horrified by any kind of sexual talk than anybody. They're acting like the Puritans. You know, if you look at it this way, you look at it and you say, don't they care about the hypocrisy and the inconsistencies of their behavior? My answer to you is no, they don't. They don't care. They do not care, because to them, they have very short memories, and they expect you to have very short memory as well. And sadly, a lot of people do. So in the Colorado legislature, we have a guy who I happen to have interviewed on AM Talk Radio, who was, and I have to say, was a state legislator, a duly elected Democrat state legislator. He was expelled from the body of the state house because he was accused by five women of sexual harassment. Now, he wasn't given due process. He wasn't given his day in court. 4 hours after the charges came out, the head of his party in the House called for his resignation. And then when he tried to defend himself, both on talk radio, and he also put forth a 28-page manifesto, it was called, he doesn't appear to be a particularly likable fellow, but that isn't against the law. To the left, it is. But when he put forth a defense of why he denied that he sexually harassed anybody, and I won't give you all the details, although it's on the internet, you can look it up. Colorado state legislator. I won't even use his name at this point, because you may or may not be interested. But on Friday, they held a hearing, a public hearing. I watched all of it. I watched some of it. And it was a preening self-satisfied. It looked like the Oscars 2 days early. People were crying and saying that they had been a victim of sexual harassment in their own life, and therefore they were voting yes to expel this House representative. This was an outrage. No attention. A group of lawmakers make laws on the rest of us, and they were voting to expel a duly elected state representative who got votes from his constituents. They kicked him out because they had had sexual harassment in their own life at some point. Now, you have to ask once again, what is the motive here? How could they so easily just ignore the facts in this case? You know that politicians, many of them tend to be lawyers. I'm not. I'm glad I'm not. Thought about going to law school once, long ago. And yet these people completely ignored due process, just as they completely ignored due process in the Ferguson case, in the Trayvon Martin case. Whenever they're willing to ignore the facts in a case, you must ask, what's the motive here? The motive, in my opinion, and I'll get to this, and then we're going to have Martina come up in another couple of minutes. The motive is, I believe they are trying to turn women into a new voting bloc. Now, once you've done LGBTQ XYZ, and you're already down to transvestites and transgender, which, by the way, I have another rant about, because studies are coming out that there's more of those transgender surgeries than ever before, and it's not helping anybody. People are having gender dysphoria, and they're having surgery to abuse and change their bodies, and it turns out it's not helping. So that's a tiny percentage, even though it's growing, and the left would like it to grow. You have to go for a much larger voting bloc. And so I am woman, hear me roar, in the 60s has turned into, I am woman, I am now a hothouse flower. I'm a victim, and I should be believed at all costs. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter whether I'm telling the truth. I'm a woman. He's a man. You should believe me. Why are they doing this? Do they care, just like illegal immigrants? Do they care about women? No, not at all. But if women and all of their emasculated supporters can be turned into a new voting bloc, and yet again another division in this country, not Americans, but evil men and good, sweet women, they will win if they can indoctrinate more people to say that there's a patriarchy and women ought to take over the world. Women notoriously vote more Democrat. Why? Well, generally speaking, they're more emotional, and they make emotional arguments to things. If they don't like things, they say we have to just ban all guns. So that's what I think is going on here. I think it is an issue of great concern, because the left is willing to put our lives in danger in order to bring in illegal immigrants to get votes. And I think that they see that they've got to create a new demographic. This concerns me, and I think it should concern you. If you have thoughts, you can give me a call. We're going to come back in just a minute. I'm going to introduce to you our new feature with Dr. Martina Cartwright in just a moment. And when we come back, we'll talk about transgenderism, a little bit about guns, and we'll wrap up the show. So enjoy the maiden voyage of Dr. Martina Cartwright and A Moment of Reason. This is Karen Cataline on Spouting Off, and we'll be right back.
Hello, America. This is Dr. Martina Cartwright with A Moment of Reason. Beware the emotional arsonist. What or who is an emotional arsonist? These are people who are more interested in stirring up trouble by creating arguments rather than solving problems. They set fires with their words and actions. Think of Nancy Pelosi and her Armageddon comment regarding Trump's tax cuts, or CNN's inflammatory so-called town hall discussion about gun control, or listen to any of the social justice protesters' melodious chants. Emotional arsonists fan the flames of personal discord with dramatic and often hysterical statements that offer few, if any, tangible results or solutions. Much like a real arsonist, these individuals unabashedly thrill in the emotional distress and panic caused by their fire-starting ways. Watch any recent media event regarding the tragedy in Florida and you'll see emotional arsonists in action. Heated debate is one thing, but emotional arsonists often shout down opposing voices, thus insisting their opinions are morally superior. Hubris and disdain towards anyone who disagrees with them is their MO. The government, the ultimate arsonist, is in the business of perpetuating problems rather than solving them. This is done in order to create more government, whether in the form of more regulation or more bureaucracy. Because as we know, the only way government can expand is by creating the need for more tax dollars. Hence, problem solving is rarely on the agenda, as too many depend on the endless supply of tax money to support their causes. From wasteful spending on some scientific studies that offer little merit, to overspending on public projects, to the politicians who conveniently and often emotionally tout the needs of the economically disadvantaged or downtrodden when it's campaign season, the government machine thrives on bad decisions and creating fires or problems that often have an emotional flame. It's no wonder many politicians and those on the government dole resent Trump and his supporters. Trump is a private sector guy, a leader who earned much of his wealth and success by solving problems, making decisions, and working with people who share his drive to succeed through personal responsibility and getting the job done. When it comes to issues like the economy, employment, and standing up to North Korea, Trump is the ultimate firefighter, constantly striving to put out the fires set by others. Trump is by no means perfect, starting an occasional fire himself with his Twitter tweets. However, when it comes to addressing the problems that affect everyday Americans, his tone and actions resonate with those who value self-determination and a can-do attitude. As we've seen, much of Trump's frustration stems from dealing with fires started by the fake news, the fake dossier, and events created by his detractors. Anyone who's encountered an emotional arsonist knows it's exhausting to constantly resolve problems and address urgent events created by other people. Indeed, firefighters are by nature rescuers, and certainly there are many that truly need assistance. However, when the fires are caused by the clueless rather than the helpless, we, the firefighters, must stay strong and douse the flames of discontent with a steady stream of common sense and reason. This has been Dr. Martina Cartwright, your common sense professor, giving you a moment of reason. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Woohoo! That was great, Martina. Thank you very much. And how prescient of Dr. Martina. You can see why we get along so well. And yet, we have our differences. Not always too much, but we do have our differences. And there will be times in which we might talk together on the air. But I'm happy to have her point of view. It's funny. I was hit on something that I wanted to get to. Just at this broadcast, as we speak, the news that is not getting reported because of Nunberg and every other bright, sparkly, shiny thing that CNN tries to get on Donald Trump, and constantly being thwarted. That's why I've gotten into popcorn lately, because it is fun to watch. But the North Korea is suddenly sounding like, for the first time ever, that they would consider disarming. Martina mentioned North Korea. Now, if this were a Democrat, this would be top of the line, obsessive 24-hour wall-to-wall news. But because it's Trump and the media cannot report anything positive about Trump. And there is more positive to report about Trump than there ever was with Obama, which all they ever did was cover it up. And it's never been more obvious. It's never been more blatant. And I can only hope that those people who aren't as big a political junkies as I am will come to understand how radical and extreme this leftist media is. It's stunning. So thank you, Martina, and watch North Korea. Now, even the White House, by the way, is saying that they are skeptical and they're not going to jump and say, ooh, it's all fixed. But I think it was unconscionable when the media were, again, inciting hatred, inciting anger, inciting just exactly what Martina was talking about, starting fires everywhere in order to say that Donald Trump was so irresponsible and so ignorant and so unhinged that he was going to lead us to World War III, when exactly the opposite is happening. The person who concedes to tyranny becomes the victim of tyranny. Donald Trump presented a strong front, and now you see Kim Jong-un saying that he wants to talk with South Korea and he would consider disarming. Now, again, this is political posturing, and you have to just watch what happens and not necessarily make a bunch of conclusions till we know what's going on. But nothing could be further from the truth of what the media has been characterizing Donald Trump as. I know that is not a perfect sentence, but nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing that they report has borne out. Nothing. And what constantly frustrates me is the fact that people still listen to them when their credibility is in the toilet. Why? Because we're used to listening to them. We are used to believing them. And they have lied and lied and proven that they are uncredible. They are incredible for their hair on fire attitude about Donald Trump. I mean, anything is okay. If they ever had a journalistic ethic in their head, it's gone right out the window after November 8th, 2016. I want to get to this before it's too late. I alluded to this, and I'm not going to get to everything on the agenda list today, as usual. I'm a fan of Tucker Carlson, and I rarely see Tucker Carlson really lose it. He's got this boyish charm. He's much more controlled than I would be with some of the people that he interviews. And he really lost it last week. And here is a bit of a report about it. Tucker debates kids changing gender and race, and here's the kicker, without their parents' consent. We're back to this theme of the left trying to emasculate men, turn men into women. They care more. You know, they're much more interested in women turning into men turning into women, because they know that a woman who turns into a man is still a woman. But if they can emasculate a man, I know it sounds crazy. It sounds like tinfoil hat time. But this is a strategy that benefits their bottom line. What's their bottom line? More Democrat votes. Quote, the simple fact is that some parents are simply not going to be supportive of their child and may endanger their child's safety or well-being to involve that parent in that decision. We're talking about minors having gender reassignment surgery. This is outrageous. This is child abuse. This is ridiculous. And I give you the other article, companion article. Tucker was outraged, by the way. That was my point. Tucker was absolutely outraged. And you could see it on his face. He was so disgusted because he's a father. And to have the state decide that he is abusing his child because he won't let them have gender reassignment surgery? Amazing. Amazing. Oh, my. So gender reassignment surgeries and regrets over the same are on the rise. In yet another alarming trend demonstrating how social justice movements are trumping, I love that word, science, a new study from Johns Hopkins indicates that the number of these surgeries being performed over a 14-year period climbed to the tens of thousands. Those surgeries used to be rare. They used to be not so often. You know, remember, oh gosh, I mean, there was one. And this idea, this notion that it is so much more common to be born in the wrong gender is utter nonsense. It climbed to the tens of thousands, and now you have leftist loons thinking that children, five-year-olds, seven-year-olds, ought to have gender reassignment surgery. This is not only child abuse, but it's child I can't think of the word. They're it's so funny. The left doesn't believe in circumcision, but they think it's perfectly okay for a five-year-old to have gender reassignment surgery against their parents' wishes. I mean, this is the thing that makes it so difficult to fight this leftist evil ideology. It's an evil ideology because it doesn't care about intellectual honesty or consistency or anything else. They can turn on a dime, like I said. You know, 30 years ago, women were like men. They were so strong and powerful, and they could be Navy SEALs, and they could do anything a man can do. Now that women are doing that, and they are in the military, and they're even Navy SEALs, even though it ignores the physical and emotional and psychological differences between men and women, now suddenly the left decides that women are hothouse flowers. They're the Puritans, and a woman who gets a text, as in the case of the Denver mayor, who's now in a fight for his life. There's much more to the story there. But the mayor, because the Denver police want to get rid of him, made public that he sent 6 years ago a text that was suggestive. It was inappropriate. It was asking this deputy that was on a security detail if she was interested in pole dancing, right? Now, the woman kept the texts for 6 years, and we never get to see the suggestive texts she may have sent to him. Does this happen? Do women send suggestive texts to men in order to get them, in order to get money from them, or just because they're hot for them? Yes, this happens. But today we're lumping all these cases together. We're thinking that suggestive texts are as bad as rape, which disrespects and demeans the very serious crime of rape in this country. But the Hollywood bandwagon, it's Me Too, baby. Me Too. Everybody has a Me Too story. They are forced to be believed. And what's the agenda? This is my theme, and then I am about to close. My theme is the agenda is to turn women back into victims and into the new victim group voting bloc so that they can maintain a majority in this country. They have been thwarted up until now, and we're moving into the 2018 election season as we speak. And I urge you to get involved, get active, and be cynical, because there's lots to be cynical about. Those are my thoughts on this day, Tuesday, March 6th, 2018. If you'd like to get a hold of me, if you'd like to disagree, you can go to my website, www.karencataline.com. I'm on Facebook at /karencataline.com. Twitter at karencataline.com. If you know how to spell my name, you'll know how to get a hold of me. That's spelled KarenKataline. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be oh so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.